Karen, I believe the Lord has a word for us through you, so why don't you come bless the people?
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Isn't Jesus wonderful? This church exalts the name of Jesus, and I love that. I have a blessed assurance in my heart that Jesus is always being lifted up at Church of the Word International. Amen. John, thank you for sharing from your heart the importance of these home groups. And I totally agree that people will come to a home group faster than a building, a church building. So the sign-up sheets, Deb, are downstairs. And please sign up before you leave. Put your name on that list and say, yeah, I'm going to be a part of this. You should be a part of the things of a church. Can I say that again? You should be. You should be a part of the activities that God puts on the heart of the pastor and leadership to make available to you. There's a reason for it. And you should make that a part of your life. You know, a lot of times we think we're too busy for that, but the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's way of doing things. And if he's planted you in this church, it should be a priority to be a part of what's the vision of the pastor. Amen? And the vision of the pastor are these home groups or church groups. Amen? So be it, plug in. Be a part of them. You know why? You're important. You have an anointing on your life, a gift in you that God gave you that nobody else has. And we need you. We're like pieces of puzzles. I love that analogy or that picture. You have lack in your life that someone else has something to hook into you, something to fill you where your lack is. And you have something to fill somebody else's lack. And we need to honor each other in this. Honor means respecting the giftings that we have, the functions that the Lord has given us. We need to honor that in each other, not comparing, not backbiting, not talking against. That's all of the kingdom of darkness. Are you aware of that? We're not to be a part of that kingdom of darkness anymore. We've been delivered from that father of Satan into the glorious kingdom of God the Father, where it's edifying, encouraging, and building up. And the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. You are well able to be a fabulous lover of people. It's not something, I mean, it's something that we're continually working at. I don't know about you. I'm a squiggly straight line. The perfect one left 2,000 years ago. And when I'm not perfect, thank God for his grace. Thank God for repentance. And I thank you for your grace that you extend toward me as I extend God's grace toward you. That's what the fellowship of believers is all about. It's beautiful. When I say we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth, I'm not mincing words. That's how the Father looks at you. You are truly, truly blessed. From the foundations of the earth, Father God had you in his heart. He called you by name, and he redeemed you. If you just meditate on that one thing, you will know how blessed you are. Are you born again today? I've been traveling this summer, and as I travel, I have my spiritual antennas up, and I observe the pulse of the church and where people are, the churches are. And it's amazing, and it's really good for you to do that because you come back to where God planted you, and you go, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so thankful that you planted me in Church of the Word International. I'm so grateful. So, so grateful. And I'm not saying that against other churches. I'm not. I don't, please hear my heart. I just see what we have. And what we have is so wonderful and so blessed. Romans 1, I'm going to read this scripture to start off. Romans 1, 16. I hope you have your Bibles today. Church of the Word, the foundation of this church is built on this, the Word, the infallible Word of God, the 100% truth on the earth today is right in this book. I hope it's your best friend. I hope if your house is on fire, you go for your Bible first. I hope this is the most important thing in your life. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things, and he'll add everything that you need in your life. Do you believe that? See, I believe that. I have learned to believe every single thing this word says. I don't question it. I may question somebody preaching this word, and you should, by the way. Did you hear what I said? But I don't question what God said in his word. And there's a big difference there. See, deception is not knowing between right and wrong. Discernment. Discernment is not knowing between right and wrong. Discernment, true discernment, is knowing between right and almost right. The devil comes as an angel of light, not a red-faced horned thing. I mean, we would recognize that right away, wouldn't we? But the devil comes in with truth and lies. Yeah. It's prevalent in churches today and in the earth today. And if you're not pressing in with the discernment of the Holy Spirit, you could be deceived. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. I'm going to share a personal experience that I had in my journey this summer about the Word of God, the importance of knowing the pure Word of God and not being ashamed of it. Do you know, I could add, not being afraid to share it. I was in a walk early in the morning in Peachtree City, Georgia. I went out every morning walking, praying in the Spirit, singing in the Lord. And as I was walking, out of my eye, I saw this car go by with four men in white shirts and black ties. And immediately I went, do we have a divine encounter ahead of me? That's what I said to the Holy Spirit. And he went, mm-hmm. So I just kept walking, praying in the Spirit. Let the Lord do it. Let the Lord bring those divine encounters. Sure enough, I went my regular way, came down, and here were four men in white shirts with black ties with Bibles or with what they have, and they're walking. And I'm walking, praying in the Spirit, knowing that the Holy Spirit, this is a divine appointment. So I stop, say good morning, hello. I know who they are. They don't know who I am. I'm going to just share something with you. When the Holy Spirit takes over in your life, you are in awe and wonder. It's like you step outside of yourself and look and say, wow. Those are Holy Spirit encounters. Why? God the Father loves every single person that he created. He longs for them to come into the saving knowledge of the Word of God. Every person. It doesn't matter how deceived they are. So the Bible says if you lift up Jesus, he will draw all men to him. I love that scripture. Because I think sharing the gospel is easy. I just start off with Jesus. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And he came in flesh. And let me just back up and say, Jesus was born of water and of blood. He was born in a womb of a woman. In that, embryonic water. And came out as a human being. That's super important that you understand that for the days that we're entering into. He came as a human being because he had to legally take back what Adam legally gave Satan authority on the earth. And Jesus obeyed his Father. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and he obeyed him in all things, even unto death on the cross. And because he was obedient, Father God said, well, you're not staying in hell and you're not staying in the grave. I'm raising you up. And Jesus is the firstborn among many. Look around and see the many. If you're born again, you are of the many. He was the firstborn. He paved the way. He opened the door into the heart of the Father that you could come into relationship with Father God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he did it for us. So if we lift up Jesus and what Jesus did for us, God the Father said, I'll draw all men to me. So I stood there in front of these four men. And typically, they like to interrupt you and spout out scripture. They do. I've encountered people who are religious and they just want to get their opinion over onto you to convince you that they're right. But God did something very miraculous, and there was such a flow of the scripture. One right after another, it was so bathed in love that literally we all stood there for over 25 minutes listening to the Holy Spirit. It's all I honestly can't even say it was me. To this day, I could weep over how beautiful it was because I felt the love the Father had for those four men. The only thing that happened that interrupted it, and it was at the end, is when I asked him if I could pray with them, and they all said no. Well, the leader guy said, no, we don't do that. And I went, I know they don't do that, but I acted shocked, and I said, oh, you mean to tell me if somebody came to you and asked you to pray with them about something, you couldn't do it? And you could just hear a pin drop. God was working in their minds and in their hearts. And at the last minute, right after that, one guy, one particular one, the youth ones, started spouting off scripture like a bullet. Boom, 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 boom. You know, it was just a religious spirit trying to take over. And what the Holy Spirit said through me is just undoes me. I looked at this young man with such love in my heart, and I said, sir, with all due respect, the Pharisees prided themselves on the knowledge of the word. But Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, your Messiah, stood in their midst and they rejected him. Don't make the same mistake. And I turned to leave. And I walked, and then I stopped. And they turned to leave as well. And as I walked and looked this way, just praying in the Spirit, that one man turned around and stopped and looked at me. Father, we just lift up those four men right now to you. We know how much you love them. They heard the word of God. It was a divine time, a divine moment in their life where they will stand before you without excuse. They heard your word. It pierced their heart. Wherever they're at, Father, Father, remove them from the lives of the enemy, the religion, man's way to you, Father. Give them other people to come into their life that will speak the word of God in truth, that will jerk that unbelief, those lies of the enemy out of their lives. Father, I pray that this church and all of us will see those four men in heaven one day. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What's sad, church, is I went to the pool that day and a man came up to me and said, I saw you with those four men. And he named them what they were. And he said, I sat there looking out the window. I went, well, this is going to be good. And he said to me, they came to my house. I said, oh, what'd you do? He said, I slammed the door in their face. Church, you have the treasure in your earthly vessel. You have what the world needs. You have the truth. You have Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. You have everything that the world is seeking for. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be afraid to allow the Holy Spirit to use you to yank out somebody from the kingdom of hell into the kingdom of God. That is what we're here for. As a born-again believer already in, our business is a business of the Father, which is the redemption business. And as horizontal working with people, we're in the reconciliation business. Are you listening to me? No one should be sitting in this church as a born-again child of God with an offense or unforgiveness in your heart. That is not pleasing the Father. That is pleasing the devil. And the grace that you need to come up and out of that is available to you every moment of every day. The Bible is very clear in Mark 11:26. If you cannot forgive, Father God will not forgive you. You are placing yourself in a very perilous situation. And if you want to be haughty and say, well, I'm born again, the Bible says that they'll know us by our fruit. Fruit is manifesting. Fruit is evident. Amen? That is the Holy Spirit for somebody. Ask for God's grace and get into a place of reconciliation. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. When you are in a place of unforgiveness, it's like putting yourself in a prison door, locking the lock, and throwing the keys. You put yourself into a prison. The other person could be free out there, but you're in prison because you are in unforgiveness. That is a whole different topic that I was not going to go. But, the Lord loves you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Father God wants you to walk in freedom. Say freedom. Freedom. Freedom from the lies of the enemy. And their lies. Don't partake of them. You know, I believe that there's a lot of people who are born again who are right on the fence. And sometimes one foot's in the kingdom of hell and another one's in the kingdom of darkness, and they're striding this fence. Purpose in your heart to go as far away from that fence as you possibly can. Stay away from that fence. Get into the kingdom of God, in the righteousness of God, in the peace of God, in the joy of God, in the kingdom of God that's already within you as much as you can. What I asked the Lord about today is, the topic is personal edification. Personal edification. Everybody say that. I heard this week, somebody called me from a distance, a far away, and said, I heard the church is waiting and praying for a prophet or an evangelist to come to their church and bring revival. They're waiting, they're praying. God, bring that person. Bring that person. And my heart sank. My heart sank within me. And I've been meditating on that, thinking about it. And this is what the Lord would like to say to us. The revivalist is in you. The Holy Spirit, in His power, is already resident in you. You don't need to be looking exterior when you already got an interior. We don't need to be looking for the next person in the pulpit to light a fire under you. You got the fire maker in you. He's available to you 100% of every moment of every day. You don't need someone else to light a fire in you. He's already in you. The revivalist is in you. The power of the gospel is in you. Yes, we need to edify, encourage, and build each other up. And yes, we should be doing that because we live in a fallen world where there is an enemy who loves to lie to us. At LTS yesterday morning, boy, if you're not an LTS, you should be. It's so much fun. It's like drinking coffee with your best friends around the Word of God. And what we talked about is a battlefield of the mind, how the enemy comes in and puts thoughts in there that sound like they're your thoughts, you know, first person, but they're not. See, that's the discernment that the Holy Spirit will help you walk in as you personally edify yourself. Now, I know this church knows how to do that, but guess what? We're for the sake of those who aren't here, we're going to go the Word. Luke 24, open your Bibles, please, to that. And this is the heart of the Father. So I pray for all of you, as you've come to receive the Word of God, that your hearts are open to hear the whole truth of God's Word. That if your tradition of where you came from or how you were taught at a previous church or how you were brought up, that you lay it down and allow the Holy Spirit to bring His truth, the Father's truth, so that you can make corrections, adjustments, and upgrade yourself. I will never forget as I sat in the front pew under Pastor Dale Armstrong's teaching and spit. Oh, yeah. Where I was a barely born-again believer, didn't know the Word from Adam. I mean, I heard about stories, but I didn't know the Word. I certainly didn't know the anointed Word. And I'd sit there and go, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding. That is totally different thinking than what I think. You all know I believed in getting the flu every flu season. I prepared to get the flu with medicine in my medicine cabinet. Now, that is stinking thinking to the max, but that's where I was. And everybody is somewhere. That's why I don't judge anybody as you're in your journey, because I know where I was and how I've journeyed. And I'd sit there, and he would preach the Word on healing to the point where I went, I'm in a fork of the road. I have to choose to go with my way of thinking or this way of thinking. I'm telling you, I remember. I was shaking, literally physically shaking because I knew. I'll tell you, the flesh doesn't want this. And when you're at a fork in the road, your free will has to take over. You have to tell your soul and your body, sit down. The spirit man is standing up. You got to talk to yourself. You got to aggressively, forcefully, sometimes jerk the slack out of yourself. Because the devil has built strongholds in the way you think, and you think you're right, and you're sitting there, and you're wrong. It's okay to admit you're wrong, by the way. Some people don't like to admit that, but you're not going to proceed in God if you're not willing to admit I'm wrong. That's so powerful, by the way. It's so powerful. It's like a leap. It's a leap. It's not a step. It's a leap to admit to somebody, including yourself, you know what, I'm wrong. I've been acting like a jerk. I've been talking wrong, thinking wrong, acting wrong. Will you forgive me? That is the most powerful thing that anybody could say to another human being. It shuts down the devil faster than anything. Not only in your life, but in the lives of those around you. Amen. All right. Luke 24:46. And it says, this is in red. Jesus is saying, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. and you are witness of these things, and behold, I send, this is Jesus saying, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, he's speaking to believers. Right here, he's speaking to believers. He said, I want you to be endued, that means clothed, with power on high. All right, turn to Acts. Personal edification. See, knowing something up here is different from knowing something right here. It's good to have both. It really is. See, you can know something, but if it's not in your heart to the point where it becomes you, you don't know yet. Are you listening to me? It's got to become you. You will operate in things in your life as you pursue the Father where they literally become you. And that is really the heart of the Father, that we do pursue him in that way. All right, Acts 2:38, it says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, comma, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a promise to you and your children and to all who are far off, even as the Lord your God shall call. The only thing you've got to do before you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is get born again. God can't fill what's not on. Your spirit is made alive unto the Spirit of God when you get born again. Now the Holy Spirit can come in and fill you, endue you with the power of the Holy Spirit. I will never pray for anyone to be born again without praying for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit same time. Same time. Why? Because why not? You know, it's the devil that has separated it. It's a devil that has fought it so hard in the church age. Why? Because of the power. The power of God comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. And every born-again child of God needs the power of God to operate in your life. Not just for you, but for others. Amen? Praise the Lord. Acts 2, verse 1 and 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as fire, and it sat upon each one of them. No one was left out. And they were all, everybody say all, every one of them, filled. Say filled. With the Holy Ghost and began to speak. All right, man. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I've heard people say, yes, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I don't speak in tongues. That's not for everybody. I've heard every excuse under the sun because I'm an advocate for the Holy Spirit in speaking in tongues. I don't even want to think where I would be without the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Can't even go there. I saw a vision once praying in the Holy Spirit. It was so real to me. And boy, did it give me the desire to pray more and more. I saw landmines, like those black bombs with a cord hanging out of them where you'd light and they'd blow up. Bombs that the devil had planted right in front of me in my journey of life. And as I was praying in the Holy Spirit, I saw the angels of God pick those bombs off and take them away. Amen. That's why I pray in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's one reason. I pray in the Holy Spirit to obey my Father. I want to be an obedient child. Jesus said he came to do the will of the Father. It is the Father's will that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues every day. You want to know every day? Because you only got today. You don't have yesterday, it's gone. And you don't have tomorrow, it's not here yet. You have today. It's the Father's will that you read the Bible, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's a command, by the way. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Wake up with the word of God, go to bed with the word of God. Let your conscience be filled with the word of God before you go to bed, because then you'll wake up thinking about Jesus. Meditate in it. Why? So you can observe to do all that will bring success and prosperity in your life. Why? Because Father God loves you. He wants you blessed. I'm going to insert this. Train up a child in the way they should go, and they shall not depart from it. We need to grab a hold of that like it's our bread. Because we are raising a generation for the Lord. By the way, God gave you children for a godly seed unto him. You have a responsibility, parents and grandparents, as you're given permission, to instill the importance of the Word of God and praying in the Spirit. I'm not disconnecting the two. If your children do not see you opening up the Bible and reading the Bible, it will not be important to them. If your children do not hear you praying in the Holy Spirit, it will not be important to them. Flip side is, if they see you reading the Bible, it will become important to them. If they hear you praying in the Spirit, it will become important to you. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the word and praying in the Holy Spirit. How about you? My kids and my grandchildren know where I stand. They know. When I'm watching the children that I've been given authority over for 2 days, we start our day worshiping the Lord with worship music, lifting our hands, and they walk behind me praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's important to me. And what's important to me, I'm going to filter to the ones I love. Amen. It's important to the Father. It is. It's so important to the Father. Acts 19, let's look at verse 1 through 6. And it came to pass that Apollos was at Corinthians. Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Great question. We should be asking each other this. And they said, "We've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." And he said to them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's." And Peter said, and Paul said, "John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after them, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, I love these words, they're all significant to me. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, because the Holy Ghost was already in them, came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Don't allow the devil to disconnect the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. There is no divide. It is the same thing. According to God's word, not my opinion, every place you'll read, it is the same thing. Amen? Luke chapter 3. God wants to inspire you today to personally edify yourself every single day. You don't need it from somebody else. You already have it available to you. You just need to do it. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. Well, if it was good enough for Jesus, I guess it's good enough for me. This church has had two water baptisms already this year. He was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Kind of sounds like Pentecost, doesn't it? And a voice from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Well, I look at this word and say, wow. If the Father is pleased that Jesus, his Son, got baptized with the Holy Ghost, and I know praying in the Holy Ghost, well, I just figured it out with my lightning quick mind that it would please the Father for me to get baptized in the Holy Ghost too. And not let the stronghold of my squirrely thinking keep me from this beautiful gift that the Father provided for me. Amen. What happened? Flip your page over, Luke 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For what? To be tempted. A trial. A tribulation. A problem. A situation beyond him. Anybody had any of that happening in their life ever at all? Oh, you're in good company with Jesus. Praise the Lord. So he was led in there. I love the account of the temptation of Jesus. Satan himself came. Of course, he came the same way to Adam and Eve. There's nothing new under the sun, beloved, nothing. The same way he came to Adam and Eve is, if you are, did God really say? He always questions, makes you bring into question what God said. He always brings into question your identity. Who you really are. Are you really born again? Are you really baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are you really forgiven and delivered and set free and healed? He's always bringing you into that place of question. Now, you can believe the word of God, but it's that doubting that keeps you from receiving all that Jesus did for you. His MO has never changed. So he brought Jesus in the same thing. If thou be the Son of Man. That's what he did. Nothing new under the sun. Same thing with you and I. Always get this. Understand his MO. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. What did Jesus do? See, I love this because what Jesus does, I just want to emulate. I don't want to make a new wheel. I just figure what he did is good enough for me. Now, Jesus being the Rhema word, could have said, boo. And it would have had an effect on the devil because he was the living word. But what did Jesus do? He took the devil and went, devil, it's already written in the book. I know you know that, but let me remind you. I don't have to say anything new to you because it's already written. And what is written is the word of God. It's forever settled. It will take care of any issue, any problem, any situation that you have or going on in your life. As you speak the word of God and remind the devil in your situation what your father said, the devil goes, I guess they know who they are. They're speaking the word. Maybe I'll just mosey on over to this other person because he's a coward. His nature is a coward. And if you just let him know and put him in his place, he'll leave you. Amen. I think one of the greatest examples, one of, because there's many, is Daryl and Reba. This guy should be paralyzed in the natural, but they took a situation and they stood their ground in the word of God and they disallowed people to say curse words over the situation or over them. They used the word, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every word spoken against us, we condemn it right now. And they took care of business in the spirit realm, because that's where it's at. And look at them. Daryl, you're back to work already, right? I'm telling you, the word works. John, are you in here? John Fike. That was a great song today. The word works when we work it. This word will work all the time, every time. But it's just a book that'll be on your table collecting dust unless you are implementing it, maintaining it, speaking it, thinking it, doing it. Hallelujah. The word does work. Thank you for your faithfulness to the word of God. Thank you for your stand on the word of God. You are a testimony to all who know you. Thank you. Thank you. You show all of us it can be done. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And we know that. We know that God's word works. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right, let's turn your Bibles to John 14, book of John, 14, verse 16 and 17, if you're taking notes. John 14, the good word of God. Father, I just love your word. So thankful for it. John 14, verses 16 through 17 says, this is Jesus again, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit is an indwelling presence. He's in me. He's indwelling within me. Turn to Romans 8, 26. Romans, the Bible is so full in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit in the individual believer and how that spills over into the body of Christ. Romans 8, 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, which is just lack. You don't know what to do, you need wisdom. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. But, everybody say, but. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Holy Spirit is our helper. You've got a helper. You're never, ever, God's never failed us. God's never left us alone. I don't care how dark, how dreary, how low your situation may look. The Comforter is within you. He's there, present tense, always. Jesus gave us that promise in his word. And he said that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searches the hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How many of you know the will of God is good? It's good for you. Hallelujah. And we know that all things work together for the good of them. That's me. That love God. Do you love God? If you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. You're going to desire to do his will. That love God to them who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. I'm called to his purpose. Are you? All right, turn to Jude 20. Jude 20. The Holy Spirit, I really believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us right now very intently and purposely, that if you're sitting here and you've poo-pooed this baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have not seen the value of it. The Holy Spirit saying, please wake up this morning. Open up the eyes of your understanding to my word that I'm speaking to you personally, not your neighbor, you personally, because I desire for you to get this gift and operate in it, because it's not just for you. It's for your family. It's for your wife or husband. It's for your kids. It's for where you work. I need you to operate in the power of the gospel. People's lives are at stake. I can't tell you how urgent that I feel that in my spirit. So Jude 20, you probably have all read it, but let's look at it together. But you, beloved, by the way, you are the beloved of the Lord. Don't ever let the lies of the enemy speak to you that you are not. You are his beloved. You are already his beloved. Building up yourself. Let's all say that together. Building up myself. Say it again. Building up myself. See, take the Bible personally. When you read the Bible, it's a personal love letter from your Father. Take it personal. Building up myself on my most holy faith. What's the next part say? Say it again. One more time. Well, how can you pray in the Holy Spirit if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit and got your prayer language? How can you fulfill that scripture? You can't. You've left it on the table. It's like a present unwrapped that your Father has laid up for you. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Because I know in this church that teaches strong Jesus salvation and strong baptism of the Holy Spirit, strong divine healing, all that the Bible teaches, I know there are people sitting in this church right now that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you think you are, you do not have your prayer language. And the Father God is speaking to you this morning to say, I need you to step up. I need you to see, this is what I want for you. You, yes, you. You, where the devil has lied and made you think you're so insignificant. That's a lie. And you need to break agreement with that lie today. And you need to side with what the Father says about you and be like Jesus to do the will. I've come to do the will of my Father. Why? God the Father needs you to be personally edified. And there is no way that will fast track you into personal edification, rip you right out of situations faster than praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? I'm so glad you asked. So glad. Because I like to know. I question. I do. And you should too. You should question things. Why is it important that we build up my most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost? Well, faith is what pleases the Father, right? One way to build your faith, to receive from the Father, is praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word says. Keeping yourself in the love of God. I don't know about you. Even though I got the love of God shed abroad in my heart, I have opportunities where I vacillate in the love because I got this thing called flesh. Anybody else? Okay. So sometimes the flesh has a voice and it takes preeminence. And I know I'm having a struggle inside of me because my spirit, I want my spirit to rule me, to guide me, to direct me. I want to walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. So there's a struggle. My flesh wants this, and the Spirit of God wants this. The Spirit wants love. And I'll tell you another thing. If you let God take care of your problems instead of you taking care of your problems, He will take care of your problems in a far faster, better way than you could ever mess it up. Amen. See, that takes trust. That takes big time trust. Trusting in a God you can't touch. Trusting in a God you can't see and handle. It takes trust to allow the Lord Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I will take care of the situation. If you want to, you can, but you'll get you results. If you let me do it, you'll get God results. Amen? Amen. This is good stuff. Ephesians chapter 6. It's the heart. It's the heart. Oh, my goodness. John, where are you? No, John. Kevin, where are you? Can you come up here? Because I cannot believe what time it is. Can you? What time is it? All right, I'm going to wrap this up really quick. You heard from the Father, the very Spirit of God. If you're sitting in your seat and you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you have and you're not praying in the Spirit, I'm going to invite you to come up right now. And you will not leave this place without that gift. You know how I can guarantee you? Because this is the heart of the Father, and He'll back up His word. Is there anyone who's not ashamed of the gospel? If you have not received this beautiful gift, come on up. Come on up. Everybody stand up and pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's be church. And, you know, when you pray in the Spirit, you are edifying yourself personally. And your prayer language is between you and God. You and God. And God may use you in a gift in a church setting, like Larry has many times given out a prophetic word. But you start with personal edification. God's more concerned about the character in your heart than anything else. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You heard the truth today. Do you believe it? Amen. So believing is the first part, desiring it. Now you just got to receive. Did you work to receive salvation? Was it a hard thing? Did you get your fist up and go? No. What'd you do? You just received. Jesus, you said it. I believe it. I'm receiving. That's all it is, right? That's how it is with this gift as well. You simply receive like a child. Lift your hands.
Vocal cords, and as an act of faith, you start your vocal cords, and it'll come up from out of the inside of you. But you take that step out of the boat.
Father, I thank you for your protection upon them. I thank you that they walk in your way, walk in your purposes, that lives are touched. Father, I just thank you for divine appointments, divine interceptions, that they harvest souls, that they speak forth your word with boldness. And Father, keep them in your divine supernatural protection. Let the angels of God go with them every step that they take. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen.
Church, you are the beloved. Take your takeaway. What is your takeaway? What are you leaving here with? Personal edification and the power that's in it. Pray in the Holy Spirit every single day. Upgrade yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to upgrade you. Be blessed. Have a fabulous week. Know that you are the beloved. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just magnify the Lord today, for he is worthy of our praise. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us. Amen. And not we ourselves. We are his people. Aren't you glad to be a child of God and the sheep Amen. Of his pasture? Look at this, verse 4 of Psalms 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We have so much to be thankful for. Are you born again? Is your spirit alive unto God? Hallelujah. Do you know that you're in the world, but you're not of the world, that you have an eternal home that we're journeying unto? Hallelujah. That should bring such joy to your heart. Well, let's stand together and let's thank Jesus for what his obedience to the Father, and thank the Father that he loves us so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, the atmosphere is here because you've come. Because you have come with a heart submitted and yield to the Holy Spirit. You bring in that atmosphere that's pleasing to the Lord. See, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's transformation. In this place, this atmosphere, you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come and bring whatever it is you need. It's beautiful. Our part is simply to receive what the Holy Spirit is bringing. Whatever it is you need this morning, it is available unto you. The word says that I am not withholding one good thing from you. All you need to do is be a good receiver. Lift your hands. Father, we are in a place of submission, a place of yielding, a place of receiving this morning. We've come to encounter your grace. We've come to be upgraded by your Spirit. We've come in a place where we've created an atmosphere within our own hearts, a hearts of repentance, a hearts of receiving everything you have for us. We've set aside all our concerns, all our problems, to put our heart, our mind, our spirit on you. In this spirit, in this atmosphere, it's so beautiful. It's an atmosphere of freedom. Freedom to be saved, freedom to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, freedom to be delivered from any strongholds of the enemy, freedom to receive the grace of God for forgiveness, and freedom to forgive others. This is a place, a moment right now. Take advantage of it. Don't let it go by you. Receive from the Lord. He is more than willing to give you everything you need. Let's just pray in the Holy Spirit, church.
I was in an airport and I saw a lie on a guy's shirt. And the shirt read, God has failed. And I'm here to tell you that's a lie. And if you've ever entertained this lie, that God has let you down, that God has failed you, I'm calling you to repent. God has never failed. He's never let you down. He's faithful through the ages. Maybe there's some things you don't understand. Maybe there's some things you don't see. Did Job see everything on the day of calamity that happened to him? Was there things he did not see in that moment? Yes, but God did not fail him. Thank you. Thank you. I just break the lies of the enemy in this house and in every mind here. God has not failed. God has not failed. He is the faithful one. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, the word is true. It's forever settled in heaven. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, in spite of your circumstances, in spite of the devil. Amen. We here at Church of the Word believe the Word of God. We're believers of the Word, the whole Word, from Genesis to Revelation. We don't tear pages out of the Bible here, pretend that they don't exist. Your unbelief of any word from Genesis to Revelation does not negate God's Word. So why don't you just believe it all? Can agree with the Father who wrote it. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this beautiful family that you've knit our hearts together as one. You have brought every person into this church. The word says you plant them. Father, they're right in the right place, doing the right things with the right people. And Father, we really are the most blessed people on the face of the earth to belong to Church of the Word International. We thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts this morning. We thank you for the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. And one way we love God is by loving one another. So let's love on one another. The children can be released to their classrooms where they will be taught the Word of God. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. I felt last week like we were to stay in Luke chapter 12 for the next couple of, or at least work through this. So I don't know how long it's going to take us. We're certainly not getting through it today. couple verses at a time. So starting in Luke chapter 12, we're going to read some verses we did last week. Someone in the crowd said to him, so a crowd had gathered, thousands and thousands, Jesus had been teaching to them, and someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, see now, Jesus saw a danger in what just took place. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen as a parent, but I have. You know, the kids come to you about something, and you see something they don't see, and so you start talking about another thing, and they're sitting there going, what does that have to do with this? So you may wonder, what's the connection here? But Jesus saw a connection here, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. All kinds of covetousness, because it's sneaky and it can sneak up on you. I used to think that covetousness was only pertaining to others' possessions, another wanting what someone else had, but let's read this definition here of covetousness. Greedy, acquisitive, grasping, avaricious, meaning having or showing a strong desire for, especially material possessions, implies inordinate desire, often for another's possessions. So it encompasses a lot more than just wanting somebody else's stuff. See, our attitude towards money, our response to having it or not having it, a lack of it, and how we choose to use it reveals what we're trusting in. And Jesus was seeing something here. So then he begins to teach on this on a parable here. Let me back up. It says, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. See, the preservation of man does not rely on the amount of stuff or money we've accumulated. You could have nothing to your name, nothing, except for faith in God and faith in God to sustain you, and you would be sustained. All right? So now Jesus went on and told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, wow, God's been good to me. Now, I'm going to tithe on this, and then I'm going to ask the Lord what I should do with the rest of it. No, he didn't. I like to do that. I like to take the picture and turn it because it helps me see things. See, this is not what he said. This is not what he did. Here's what he said and did. He says, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Wow, what an aim in life to have. This guy's aim in life was basically to not have to work. Sit back and relax. You just go on vacations all the time. Eat and drink, you know, support my physical existence. And partay. Be merry, live it up. The good life. That was his whole aim in life. And this should not be our mantra for life. But a lot of people, I mean, in society, this is. This is what they live for. This is why they get up in the morning, is the pursuit of these things. I want you to notice that these four things listed here, all of them, none of them are bad things. In fact, they're all needed, right? I mean, vacations. Well, we need vacations. They're tools. They help refresh you so you can be more effective in the work of God that God's called you to. And fun is good. I mean, Proverbs says that laughter is medicine, right? But we don't live, our reason for living is not the pursuit of fun, right? Not one of these things was wrong to have. What was wrong with them, what was wrong here in this picture, is to live for them. What was wrong was to trust in them. To trust in what you've accumulated. What was wrong was to live for just yourself. See, there wasn't much living for anything else, if for any other purpose going on here. Right? See, and one of the ways, this passage is bringing out trust, what we're trusting in or not. And one of the ways we show what we're trusting in, one of the ways we show that we're trusting in God as our provider is when we tithe. You know, when I put my tithe in the basket, I'm declaring that God, I recognize you as my source. I trust in you. Well, let's read on verse 20. God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. I looked up soul, so that word in the Greek is translated differently, different places, but it literally means it encompasses a lot more than just soul. Like we think of soul as your mind, will, and emotions. It encompasses your spirit, your life, person. So basically he said, you know, and required. I looked up that as well. And it said demanded back. So basically he's saying your life is going to be demanded back of you. Why? Because it wasn't yours to begin with, you know? And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? See, he's lived for himself. Basically, he's saying, you know, you've lived for yourself. Where you're going, you're not taking the stuff with you. Now what? What good did this do you now? See, there is nothing on this earth. See, he was looking at his stuff, and he thought, man, this is trustworthy. I can depend on this. I don't have to work anymore. We're just going to vacation and sit back, take care of our stuff. But nothing on this earth is 100% trustworthy 100% of the time. Anything can happen. You might think, man, you know, all the statistics show this is the most solid thing. You know what? Overnight, that could be gone, except for God. There's only one that is 100% trustworthy 100% of the time, and that is our Father. That is our Father. So God wants you to relax. He wants you to have fun. He, you know, as we read further in the coming weeks, you know, we'll see God knows we need these things. This guy could have had all these things, but put first things first. God knows you need those things. He knows you need to eat and drink. He knows we need to be able to relax and have rest from our labors. He knows God loves laughter. He likes parties, you know? But put his things first. We are not on this earth for pursuit of these things. We are on this earth to advance the kingdom of light, to be agents for God. So, like I said before, one way we show that we have trust in our Father God as our provider, a declaration that, God, you're my provider, is when I tithe. So we're going to take hold of our tithe and we're going to pray over it this morning. I didn't read verse 21. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So when you just pursue to those things, putting all that things first, not rich towards God, it's like it says in verse 20. It's basically nothing, all for nothing. Well, that's not us. Say, that's not me. God is my provider, and I trust in him. Amen. All right. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness to us, that we can look to you to provide all the things that we need and even things that we desire, that you are an abundant God and think only good thoughts towards us. We're so grateful to you, Lord. So we return our tithes to you, and we call these people blessed. We call the blessing of the tithe upon the people, and we say, so be it according to your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. And ushers, you can pass the baskets. And just real quickly, we will go over a few announcements here. We have a ladies' breakfast coming this next Saturday. And there's sign-up sheets in the back. That's going to be a great Saturday morning, so don't miss it. And we also have our fall home group starting up. Woohoo! I strongly encourage you to sign up and be a part of them. It's just such a way of connecting with each other, of growing in God, you being able to, you know, discuss the things of God with friends and family, and it's so vitally important. Johnny T, why don't you come up here and share what's on your heart, just a few minutes concerning the home groups.
Good morning. It rains every day in Pennsylvania now, don't it? Holy. I was thinking, you know, when you were talking about God has not failed, I was sitting back there. I was thinking about years ago, I was sitting in a jail cell and lost everything. They took my kids away. And, I'm going to start crying. And to the rest of the world, it was game over. It's over. But it was. It was just the beginning. You know what I mean? Ask God for help to turn everything around and make things Amazing, right? So it's going to be home. We were on vacation for a little while, and we've been on the road for work and stuff, so I haven't been here in a while, but it's going to be back. I'm excited. We were up in the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon, then we went down to Fallen Waters down in southwest Pennsylvania. It's this house that they built. Some guy asked them to build a house near a waterfall, but instead he decided to build a house over the waterfall. So it looks like the water's like coming out from under the house. I took a picture. I sent it to my boss. He said, just think, the people in Mount Joy got that for free and they didn't have to go anywhere. But it's good to be home. I'm excited for home group starting up again. You can call it home group. You can call it whatever you want. I call it church. You know, we get together and believers get together and we share the word and things happen at home group. Me personally, I make it a have you ever tried to invite somebody to church? It's kind of hard, isn't it? How many people have you invited to church and how many people actually came? Especially when it starts at 8:45 in the morning. This church starts early. But it is easy to get people to come to home group. Over the last 2 years, I've invited 10 people to home group and 8 of them came. One of them only came one time, but the rest of them kept on coming for different periods of time. And we can invite all different kinds of people. Invite people that are homeless or just getting out of jail, on drugs, people that live at the mission. You ask them to come, they will come. You can ask people that are Christians that don't go to church anymore. There's a lot of people out there that are believers that don't go to church. You can ask those people to come. I've asked people that are Christians, but they might be like Lutheran or Methodist, and they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, or speaking tongues. I bring those people. It is really easy to get people to go to home group. Hey, a couple of my friends are getting together next week on Tuesday. We're going to go to my buddy Kevin's house. His mom's going to be sharing a little bit. Would you like to come with me? There's some pretty really cool people. Would you like to come? And 9 times out of 10, sure, I'll come. And then I make it my point. I go get these people. I pick them up and I bring them. We might go have dinner before. We might go have a snack afterwards. But I look at it as my job to get these people to where the word is going to be spoken. Because where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Sure, it's good for me. You know, I get to hear the word. It lifts me up, carries me through. Most people know I go to 2 home groups a week. Because that's how much I like it. Because it's church, but it's different because I can talk. I can ask questions. Well, what do you mean by that? Or I can have an opinion. I can say something. So it's good for me. But more than that, it's my duty to get people where the word is shared. If 2 or 3 are gathered in my name and I'm in the midst, I'm getting these people. Hey, Jesus is going to be talking next week over at Kevin and Kelly's house. I'm going to bring as many people as I can. And things happen there. Things happen there. We've seen people accept the Lord. We've seen people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Our friend Tracy, she doesn't come to church, but she comes to home group, calls me up all the time. Is there home group? She was diagnosed with cancer. We started praying with her. She had her treatment. She's fine. A couple weeks ago, my daughter-in-law, we've been praying for her for 2 years. She accepted the Lord. For the first time, there's amazing things that you know people. There's people you know that you care about, you've been praying about. I don't care if it's your coworker or your stepdaughter or your friend down the street. There's people you know and you care about, whether they're Christians or not. You get them the home group. Would you like to come? Or some friends are getting together. And I'm telling you, lives are being changed. It's not just to sit around and say hi to Shawnee and Aaron, right? Oh, that's a nice part of it. But the word's going forth, the spirit is there, and lives are being changed. So if you know anybody that could use the Lord, ask them to come to home group. I guarantee you most of them will say yes. Thanks.
Thanks, Johnny. You're such a blessing, Johnny T. You're such a vital worker in the kingdom of God. Well, Pastor Sidney gives his love, and he wanted me to share with you that he is a God thing, that he was in this time. At this particular time, I mean, it's very unusual that there is people that are there on the team, people that are leaving the team that have served, and new ones coming in to serve. So it's these three dynamics right there. And some of them were really struggling because their leader has been yanked out of their midst suddenly. In fact, there was somebody on the team that wasn't able to say goodbye to Jonna because they were away when Jonna left, and it just the whole thing, they're kind of reeling. And Cindy's really been able to minister to them, to encourage them. And God's doing something in that area, and they are there for such a time as this. I think they were a little bit like, what's going on? Why am I here, you know? They are there for such a time as this. In the last 2 weeks, there has been several people led to the Lord, several baptisms, and one of the girls that they just, in fact, just maybe it was recently, it was several days ago, they led a young girl to the Lord in a restaurant or a coffee shop or something, and now her friend is saying, hey, I'm interested, I want to know more. So now they're drawing in her. So chain reaction here, it's just God's moving in that area, and the Mirabellas are now fixing to begin a new work in a new area, and God's advancing his kingdom. Glory to God.